It's been such a privilege to watch God work in these last weeks. And I was thinking, God's given us the privilege now to gather together. How do we begin? And these particular verses have been on our minds down in Laredo, but in the recent weeks, these verses are what really has impacted me, and I'll read them. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And if I could have my greatest desire, it would be that God would burn these two verses so into our hearts and minds, and that we would be so growing in what's contained in these two verses, then this move to another building could be such an incredible blessing. But as you well know, we're always at the point of being distracted. Satan is always going to be there, trying to draw us away. We've been down in Laredo the last couple of weeks, and there's a sense, you know, we were talking to one of the new believers, and he was focusing on the larger church, the church that's more established, the church that's more mature. And we were reflecting on the very reality that if you go to the book of Revelation, it wasn't the church that was larger. It wasn't the church that had so many things that looked like they were all together at Ephesus. But it was two struggling churches in Smyrna and the other one in Philadelphia. And if we were going to pick a church to go to, those two churches would be the ones we'd want to be part of. So, brother, we don't ever want to get there. And when somebody says, well, our church has arrived, we're the best church on the face of the earth, and that scares me. Because, brethren, we're always, ever so weak, so helpless, and Satan is organizing his troops and reorganizing his troops from every angle to distract us, to choke us. And so these two verses, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. If you look at the end of chapter of verse 5, it says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What do we need more than anything else as we attempt to go forward is we need humility. We need God to humble us and keep us humble so that He might use us as a church. Brethren, there's so much before us. And God really is concerned about His churches. I mean, we don't have time this morning to focus on the rest of the chapter and the context here, but certainly it's in the context of a local church. And not just submission to elders, but it's talking about submitting to one another in humility. What do we want? We don't want the focus to be building. We want the focus to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We want the love of Jesus Christ to be ever more real and precious to us. We want this kind of humility that produces this kind of love one for another, that all men might know that we're the disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we want. We don't want to be known by, oh, they're the people who have this building over here or that building over there. Not even, we don't want to be known as the people who God provided a building for in a wonderful way. That's wonderful. And all of the blessings of God are wonderful. Even more reason that we ought to humble ourselves before this mighty God. But at the end of the day, it's Jesus Christ. And He's the one. He's the one that must be seen in us. And He is the one that must work through us. So as we take a few minutes and just focus on these two thoughts, humbling ourselves before, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then the second thought will be casting all of our cares upon Him. And then thirdly, He cares for His people. Brethren, what an encouragement this is. Humbling ourselves before this mighty God is not a negative thing. It's the most precious thing. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time He may exalt you. So many reasons as we sit here this morning, so many reasons that we ought to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We don't deserve anything. Rather, none of us here, none of us deserve even to be here. And that God has worked in many of our hearts and has shown us that we're lost and helpless and deserve absolutely nothing but the wrath of God. He's a holy God. He's an all-knowing God. We don't deserve to live. And yet, look what He's done. He sent His Son, His only begotten Son. God so loved the world, He sent His Son, that whosoever believes in Him might have everlasting life. He's opened many of our eyes to see the incredible, amazing preciousness of Jesus Christ and given us such a real, real, real hope in a hopeless world. We don't deserve to breathe. And here we are together. And look what God has done for us. If we ought to humble ourselves before this mighty God, I was thinking, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, we were still in Nepal. And it was such an oppressive time. And it was so seemingly so dark. And there's so many battles in that part of the world. As I'm looking forward again to going there again. And we had many trials here. And Brother Tim was preaching on that very subject. And we're engaged in a real, real warfare against an enemy that's bringing together all of his troops to destroy us. So when we look at the dangers, when we look at our flesh, when we see how easy it is for us to wander and get distracted, when we're living in America and we have the prosperity we have here, and we realize how easy it will be that we will be choked or distracted, then we must make a concerted effort individually and as an assembly to humble ourselves, to seek to take the lowest place at His feet, Mary's place. We must hear from our Savior. We must have lives that are drawing closer and closer to Him, or at some point we're going to lose it. The enemy is organizing his fronts in different parts of the world. And we know that, not only for ourselves, but our brothers and sisters that labor in other countries, in China. You can name the country. And so we need to humble ourselves, away with the thought that we can do anything, away with the thought that we're going to accomplish anything for the kingdom in our own strength.
We're not going to. Even if God has saved us and given us an incredible love for Jesus Christ, even if we had the love of Peter to forsake all and follow Christ, it isn't going to be enough for us to stand up as a true testimony and witness for Jesus Christ without His grace. And He gives grace to who? To the humble. We must be humbled. We must stay humble. But this is not some kind of a miserable humbleness. This is not some kind of depressive thing. Really, the reality is, the more we would be humble before this mighty God, the more He's ready to work for us. The more He's ready to do for us. He's ready to exalt His people. He's not ready to exalt people for their own glory, but He is ready to give His Spirit. He's ready to produce the kind of love, the kind of joy, the kind of peace, the kind of boldness that we will need to exalt Jesus Christ. And brother, isn't that what we want? We don't want ourselves to be exalted. We don't want the name of Grace Community to be exalted. We want Jesus Christ to be exalted. We don't want people to see us. We want people to see Jesus Christ in us. We want that kind of love, that kind of joy, that kind of peace that will bring glory to Jesus Christ. We want what Stephen had. So if we're martyred for the faith, we could be praying for our enemies while they're putting us to death. What an exaltation. What a reality of the work of God. What a privilege. But we can't have more grace unless we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He has always received those who have humbled themselves before Him. We can go through this whole book. And even those who so didn't deserve it. I mean, we got the whole history of the Old Testament. How the children of Israel wandered, and then when they humbled themselves, God came back. God fought for them. God lifted them up. Brethren, we need to draw close to Him. And He will help us. He will give us what we need. And it says in the next verse, casting all your cares or anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Casting all of our cares upon Him. Humbling ourselves before Him, acknowledging that we don't have anything. We have no ability, we have no wisdom, we don't have the ability to love, we can't produce this joy, peace, all of those fruits of the Spirit that are so absolutely necessary if the world is going to see Jesus Christ. We're not going to carry out the work He's commissioned us to do unless we have Him do something for us. But brothers and sisters, so often, it's my own experience, so often we can be cumbered with so many cares in our own hearts and minds, and we're not casting them on the Lord. And so, not only must we be humbled with the reality that we can do nothing, but we must be humbled by the fact that He's willing to hear us. He's willing to accept us. He's willing to answer us. And He's saying, cast all your cares upon Me. All of your anxieties upon Me. Brethren, if we're all cumbered about and anxious with so many different cares that we're trying to resolve in our own strength, that we're never going to carry out what God wants for us to do. He says, seek first the things of the kingdom of God, and all the other things He will add, everything else that we need. And yet, there's a tendency as the cares of many things from many different places come in upon us. And as a church, as we press forward for the advancement of the kingdom, we can expect that we're going to get more and more resistance. And then the cares of our family, the cares of our job, the cares of our finances, the cares of our health, the cares of our children. So many things can occupy our hearts and minds that if we don't cast those upon Him, our lives are going to be so encumbered, we're not going to be able to accomplish anything. Building wonderful, but we can't have all of our concerns and cares wrapped up on what we're going to do with a building. It's Jesus Christ and His kingdom that's the motivator. God gives us a place to meet so that we can encourage one another forward. That this might be a launching place, a training place, so that we might accomplish what He has for us to do. But day by day, and as a people, we need to encourage ourselves to cast our cares upon Him and simply say, Lord, everything is far beyond me. I don't have strength for anything. I can't figure out anything. I don't have wisdom for anything. But You have everything. You have all the wisdom, all the strength, all the grace. And You've promised to give it to us if we'd but humble ourselves and cast all of our cares upon Him. Look to Him. Our minds, my mind, and I know yours too, is very small when it really comes down to it. We cannot think about very many things at the same time. Very, very limited. Our minds get all bound up with this and then all bound up with that. But Jesus Christ doesn't have that problem. He can think about everything at the same time and He can orchestrate everything at the same time for our good. And He says, cast your cares upon Me. And then just look to Me for the next thing I will have you to do. Brethren, if you've walked with the Lord for any time at all, you know how God can produce peace in the middle of that. Your heart's all bound up. And you come to those verses that say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we can cast our cares upon Him and then submit to Him and rest in Him and say, Lord, what do You want me to do next? What's the next thing? The next step. Not trying to figure out everything that only God knows and only God can work together in His sovereign, supernatural way for our good. No, that's not for us to figure out. What's the next step that we must each take to move forward to serve our King? What does He have for us to do? What does He have for us to do? We must strive. It sounds strange. Striving for this peacefulness. But doesn't He say casting all your cares upon Him? That indicates some energy has got to go into this. It's not something that's just going to happen. And it doesn't say just gently lay all of your cares upon Him. No, He says cast all your cares upon Him. Push our cares off onto Him. And then say, Lord, what do You want me to do? Acknowledge Him in all of our ways, and He will direct our paths. Time and time again, we're going to face obstacles. And I am so blessed with the way God has orchestrated this whole situation that we can be here today. And all of the obstacles that surrounded that, you know, we really felt that this building was just the right fit for us right now. And yet we didn't have the money for it, and we contracted for it. And like I said to Tim, there couldn't have been a worse time for this to happen, because in our business, you know, we buy and sell houses, and we had many things all tied up and not closed. And we were struggling to come up with the money to keep all of our expenses going. Some of you who are in business know what that's like. Some of you just have that same problem every week just to survive. And here comes this wonderful opportunity for this building. And brother, I couldn't give a penny to it. But watching God work and watching the saints sacrifice, watching the saints give. And then we got near the end and we had all the money ahead. It was such an encouragement to me to see how God did that. Really, it was. It really was such an encouragement. But because this is only the beginning, or I should say the continuation, because that building over there at Fatty's, and then before that, and then before that, God has done remarkable things all the way through. We have a whole history of God doing remarkable things. But my desire is that this is really going to help us to humble ourselves, cast our cares upon Him even more so, and then ask Him, what do you want us to do? Even if you want us to reach out this direction or that direction and it looks absolutely impossible, He's saying, bring it to me, ask. I'll give you what you need to accomplish what I want you to do for your glory. I'll lift you up and exalt you with the grace of Jesus Christ living in you, through you. So brethren, look, just imagine that. We can live in humility, preferring one another, humbling ourselves. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. Oh, what a blessing that would be. We can just serve one another. We don't have to fight for preeminence. No, we can have joy in our hearts, peace in our hearts, unity in our churches, because our joy is in Jesus Christ. He's our treasure. And even though we're in the midst of battle, sometimes God gives incredible victories against Satan. Sometimes there will be martyrdom in the process. People will die. But our home's in glory, like Jesus said. No, how can someone take away our joy if it's really fixed in Jesus Christ, and we really have a home in glory? Our names are written in heaven. Our citizenship is not here. Why can we not have a growing assembly of people that are growing in humility, growing in this casting of our cares upon Him, rejoicing in the fact that He cares for us, brethren? How can we deny that He cares for us? He's shown us again, just in this last week, how much He cares for us. Should that not now encourage us forward, to press forward, to attempt greater things for Him? He's the great God, under the mighty hand of God, not to squash us, but under the mighty hand of God to work for us, to do for us. Not for us, not for what we could achieve, but He's willing to work through us and with us to accomplish what He would have for us to do. We're a bunch of weak people, all of us. In a few more years, they'll put us in a box and they'll put us under the ground and people will forget who we are. But we have our little opportunity, brother. Let us take the blessings of God and what He gives us, and not sit back now and go inward, but let us be encouraged that this is that we may go outward, that we may go forth, that we may accomplish, that we may encourage one another. Let's press forward, brethren. Let's really pray. Would God have us attempt in this direction and then in that direction? And He says He cares for us. And if we have our personal matters and difficulties, we cast them upon Him. Hasn't He done that for us so many times? We've been in different places, and as He gave us grace, yes, but purposefully we throw our cares upon Him, and He's shown us again and again how He's provided for us. Listen to the testimonies of missionaries through the centuries. People like Hudson Taylor, people like William Carey, people who trusted God for great things, attempted great things, and God never let them down. Do we need our hearts humbled? We all need our hearts humbled. Remember William Carey, moving right along, translation, Bibles, God sends a fire, burns the whole thing up after years of work. What did he say? God knows what I need. God knew I was getting a little proud of my accomplishments. more would be accomplished by humbling him. What a wonderful attitude. What the reality there. But then look what God did with that. The thing burned down and then God sent money from all over the place. Much more with not only accomplished because of the money, but I'm sure the translation work and the materials were all better too. We can't figure out God. He's far beyond what we can imagine. We just need to humble ourselves, cast our cares upon Him. He said if we'll acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He'll direct our paths. Might we be a people learning that? Isn't that the testimony of all of us? We know that's the truth. If we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He'll direct our paths. We're getting a little older, we lose things. And how many times, Judy, and I don't remind her, oh, you lost it, can't find it. Did you pray? No. Then we pray, and so many times it's amazing how God helps us find something we lost. And then we're reminded, acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Thou wilt keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Oh, brethren, we have a great God. We've been reminded this past week how great He is and how willing He is to hear our prayers. With our prayers, we go to Him and we confess before Him how helpless we are. We go to Him and say, Lord, we've failed here, we've failed there. He's faithful and just to forgive us. We ask Him to give us what we need and He's going to give it to us. Isn't that amazing? He is so ready to give more than we ask for. If we ask with that humbleness of heart. Oh, brethren, He really is a great God, amazing God. And surely here, who knows how many of you have never yet humbled yourself before the mighty hand of God. And if we together could encourage you, as the Spirit and the Bride say, come, we say, come, come to this Christ. If you'll humble yourself before Him, if you'll humble yourself before Him, surrender to Jesus Christ. Away with looking for something good to bring to Him. There's nothing good you can bring to Him. You've probably lived many years, some of you, with no peace and no joy and not knowing the fullness of what He's ready to give to you. Why continue? Surrender to Him today. Cry out to Him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He'll receive you. He receives all who come to Him. None does He cast away. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Cast all of your cares upon Him. He does care. He cares for those who are hopeless and helpless and have ruined all things. And the greatest thing of all is when we come to the knowledge of the greatness of Jesus Christ. And then in our unbelief, we continue to go on without surrendering to Him. Our sins are only increasing as a mountain, higher and higher day by day. Surrender to Him, all and everything. Find peace with God today. Brother, you have the testimony of the saints here. God is a good God. He is. God is. And He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This is our testimony. Whether we're saved only a few days or whether we're saved for many years, God is. And He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Humbly fall at His feet. Cry out for mercy. Come away forgiven. Live the rest of your life submitted to Him. Follow Jesus Christ. Brethren, the time is short. New building, we rejoice. In a few days, it's gone. We're here. A few days, we'll be gone. Only what's done for Christ has value.
Brethren, let us help. Let us pray for one another. Let us exhort one another to love and good works. Let us exhort one another to take the lowest place. Let's exhort one another to humble ourselves and to live our lives with this kind of Christ-like joy. He will give it to us. He will give us His Spirit to accomplish His work. Father, please help us. You know how absolutely helpless we are. You know how many times we've looked at these same truths from so many different parts of Your Word. All of the blessings of abiding in You. All of the fruitfulness You would give. All of Your purpose to fill our hearts with Your joy. And yet, Lord, You know how slow we are. We confess it to You even this morning. We're slow learners so often. And yet You're faithful. And You continue to draw us. And even, I trust, this morning, You're stirring our hearts not to stay where we are, not to be satisfied with the blessing only, but that our hearts are stirred to ever new levels to follow Jesus Christ and keep our eyes fixed to the end of the race. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.